Right, hands up if you've never done any DIY. You've never tried to do something yourself, what somebody else should have done, really. Was that a disaster? Did it turn into a disaster? Yeah, electrics, you'd never mess with electrics unless you're an electrician. That's my, I've had a few incidents with DIY light fittings. Electrocuted myself a few times. What type of DIY person would you say you are on a scale of 1 to 10? No need to answer this. How good would you say you are at DIY? Minus. Are you down there in the 1 or minus numbers? Julie says minus 10. Can anybody beat that? Or would you like sort of get yourself in the middle-ish, or you think you're pretty good at DIY? Suppose that's up to you, what you think, into what somebody else might actually think who is a professional to your DIY. Might be a different matter. But I think we all like to think that we're reasonable at DIY, don't we? We're not like the professional DIY man who changed all the windows in his house and then realised the crack was on his glasses. I read that on the internet. I thought, yeah, type of thing I would do. So, if you look at the first slide tonight, we all know the answer to this one. What does those letters stand for? Do it yourself, yeah. So, that's the answer. Do it yourself. So then, what is DIY? If someone said to you, how would you describe DIY, what would you say? Do what yourself? Could be home improvements, yeah. Yeah, keeping tradesmen in employment, yeah. Yeah. Things started and never finished, maybe. Yeah, that's. I think that's probably the thing that motivates most people to do DIY. The price of having someone else to do it when you can do it yourself for nothing. Because it can cause quite a lot of disaster. It's when you use your own skills to do projects which would normally be done by a professional or someone who's good at that. Sometimes with success, sometimes with, as the quiz, disaster, DIY disaster. I'm sure that at times we've all started projects in good faith thinking, yeah, I can do this. You know, I've seen this on the telly, or it doesn't look that hard, to be honest. I can do this, and then halfway through realise that you're well out of your depth. You know, either it's gone completely wrong or you just don't know what to do and you've got stuck and you can't go back because you've started it and you don't know what to do to go forward. I'm sure that sometimes we've all been in that situation, haven't we? When we do DIY, we need some of these things. Look at the next few slides. Maybe you've got a ratchet screwdriver. It's probably one of the basic things. You need a screwdriver, don't you? Basic DIY. Probably the most used tool of all in DIY is the hammer. I can use the hammer to do most things at work. At home, it always comes in useful as well. Next one, Stephen. The man's tool. Power drill. Men like to have their power tools, don't they? And that's a power drill. It's an old one now, like, because it would be rechargeable, wouldn't it? But the drill. The next one, please, Stephen. The old favourite. Whatever you use that for, whatever you put up never ends up level anyway. So why bother? maybe your toolbox looks something like this. Yeah, it might do the day that you opened it. But sort of by the second time you've used it, it's either dirty or you've lost some of the bits. And usually the bits that you want, the ones that you've used last time and have gone. My toolbox at work looks nothing like that. And my tools at home are in four different drawers all muddled up. So I'll be proud of that toolbox. Would you say that your DIY kit was bigger than that? Or would you say that it was smaller than that? Much smaller. I would say mine's a lot bigger than that, but not as compact or well organised. Right. Is the other one, Steve? What's the next one? I don't know what it is. Yeah, this is what we're going to do now. This is just for a bit of fun. You've got 1 minute to think of the best statement that you can think of. If you were a DIY tool, what would you be and why? The one I instantly thought of was a Stanley knife, because you've got a sharp tongue. You've got a minute to think about it yourselves. It'll be a prize for best answer. If you were a power tool, what would you be and why? Well, it doesn't have to be a power tool, sorry, a DIY tool. Two people thought one. All right, Steve, you can stand up and say it then. So people. Ooh. Yeah, that was sharp. Who's next? A what? The answer to everything. Anybody else? Oh, yours, Gary. Multi-tool. Nothing works in your house and all spoons are damaged. Any others? Right. I thought of a Stanley knife because it's got a sharp tongue. But there could be all sorts of things, couldn't there? Way you could sort of relate yourself to. What do you think was the best one there? What do you think did the best one? Carriers. Because we're all associated with that, I think. We all work with nuts and our nuts at times. So, DIY is an option, but it's not always the best one, is it? As I'm sure we've all come across sometimes by attempting DIY. I once tried to change a light fitting at my old house, got the wires wrong and managed to throw myself off the chair onto the floor with the electric shock. So don't mess with electrics. But if you think about it, you can probably think of some disasters in DIY that's happened to you. Well, in church life, we're not called to DIY. We're not called to do it ourselves. We're called to DIT. Anybody can think what that is? Do it together, exactly. We're not called to DIY, we're called to DIT, to do it together. We're going to look at, well, three scriptures, but I'm not going to read one. I'm just going to let you have a look at that at home, but which talk about doing it together, not DIY. First one that I'd like to look at is Ephesians chapter 3, and I'm going to read verse 14 and 15. For this reason I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he should grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in your innermost man. So, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. That gives us a clue as to what God intended us to be and our relationship to each other. We are God's children and as such come under the family name. Talked about this before, haven't I? If God's second name was Smith, we would have become Smiths. You know, whatever God's second name is, it's just God, isn't it? But we've come under the family name, haven't we? Not only on earth, but also in heaven as well. That's part of our family as well. That's something else to grasp, isn't it? What we don't quite understand. If God calls us family, then we were never meant to try to do it alone, were we? We are all needed and have something to do. The project of salvation has to be DIT, not DIY. You must agree with that. Now, if I were to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 to 28, I'm sure some of you could tell me what it talks about there. It talks about the body, doesn't it? About the church being a body, and if we were all ears, where would the seeing be? And if we're all eyes, where would the hearing be? And how would we talk? And how would we move? And it talks about the church as a body, one body, with Jesus at the head, doesn't it? We're all parts of the same body and we're all needed for it to function properly. Legs can't run in opposite directions, can they? Not on the same person anyway. That would be a bit of a disaster. The other one that I wanted to look at this evening is from Psalm 68 and verse 4 to 6. Sing to the Lord, sing praises to his name. Exalt him who rides on the clouds. For his name is Yah, and rejoice before him. The father of the fatherless, the defender of the widows, is God in his holy habitation. God sets the solitary in families. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in dry land. So there it says, a bit what I want to talk about tonight. He sets the solitary in families. In other words, God brings us together. No one needs to be alone in the family of God. If a single person who hasn't got any family whatsoever becomes a Christian, he instantly gets a family, doesn't he? He instantly becomes a family. And you can go anywhere in the world and find Christians and say you're a Christian, and they will accept you as family, won't they? That's the good thing about being in the family of God. God doesn't expect us to be alone or to work alone, because he draws us together. Makes us all fit together, just as all the parts of our body fit on our body. And the plan of salvation is achieved as we work together with Jesus at the head and us doing as he directs us together. It has to be like this picture on the next slide. Not everyone with their own tool doing their own thing, but everyone with various tools all helping and building the project. And that's what it's got to be like in the church as we attain to sort of achieve the plan of salvation that God has left for us. Everyone needs to help. Everyone is different, but everyone is good at something, aren't they? We can all do something. We might not all be good preachers or singers or whatever we do, but we're all good to do something, and God has called us to do that. We all differ in our skills, and God has called us together to achieve the same purpose. His plan of salvation in this place, in this area. So it's not DIY, do it yourself, but it's DIT, do it together. Amen.